In this episode, we are going to explore a little bit around the idea that you can use your mind to attract the things that you want. Now, those things could be your ideal weight, your shape, maybe an improved relationships, could be a change in job. I don't know. What do you want? For me, as a coach and dealing with the underlying reasons for people actually seeking out support in the first place, you know, it definitely comes 100% from choices that they've made. But if that's you, and if I can help you understand why you're making those choices, then perhaps we have a chance to break the cycle that will lead you to improve decisions in the future. So no, sorry, this isn't going to be like a scene from The Greatest Showman or Mary Poppins. Ain't no magic, ain't no trickery, there's no spoonful of medicine. In fact, it might resemble an aisle of B&Q. And hey, who doesn't enjoy a little bit of DIY? Let's get into it.
Hi, I'm Paul Keenan, and you're about to start developing strength from the inside out with this podcast. I'm a personal trainer and mentor for trainers and coaches. With me, you won't get motivational fluff or hype. You will get a combination of brain science, real client case studies, transformational psychology, action steps, and some woo-woo wisdom, all rolled into one superset. If you're wanting more from your life, to feel better, look better, to heal, perhaps to have more and to be more, then this is the podcast for you. Because you're going to learn how to strengthen your mind and develop your awareness physically, mentally, and emotionally. All from the inside out. Welcome to the Mind Your Muscle Podcast.
So, Law of Attraction, part two. I'm going to start and look at a little bit of a routine now, because I'm in the routine of doing podcasts. What does your routine look like? So, what does your morning routine look like? Do you have one? Or do you just get up and maybe just get on with the stuff that appears in front of you as you move throughout your day? I personally don't buy into the idea that you must, in inverted commas, be up at like 5 a.m. to achieve goals and dreams. But I do buy into the belief that you have to be up for it. To make it work for you and your energy, to have, you know, available quiet time, or probably more importantly, your most productive time, that could actually be at 5 a.m. or it could be at 5 p.m. It's the same whenever I speak to PT clients about food and new starts. You know, they're going to tell me that they don't eat breakfast. They just can't stomach anything first thing in the morning. And my answer is always very simple. You always have breakfast. You just have it later in the day. Because the idea of breakfast has probably largely been pushed by food companies to promote products as breakfast foods. Now, breakfast is quite simply breaking your fast from the night before. That's kind of what it stands for. So it doesn't matter that your first meal, whether it's at 5 a.m. or 12 p.m. What matters probably is that you eat, and you do so in line with goals and targets. And this is not a nutrition podcast either. But when you work or work out, it should also be your choice. Forcing it, it's probably never going to be good long term. Some people, they like the exercise in the morning. Other people prefer the evening. Some people find the afternoon is a good time for them if they have the space in their diary and their day for it. You know, and we all have different feelings, different opinions, and ultimately different schedules that are going to be aligned with what's going on in our life and aligned with our energy levels. And all of those things, well, they're going to determine when you either work or work out. Now, getting back to your morning routine or lack of, I do reckon you'll probably have to get up at some point if you want to achieve the thing that you say you want to achieve. So what you want to achieve is ultimately maybe a little goal for the day. So what you do when you are up matters. And I like to think of my morning or waking routine as about creating and getting myself into that emotional frequency that is setting me up for the day. Because, you know, I want to get up and I want to have energy. I want to have drive. I want to be moving forward. I don't want to get up and sit on my phone or piss about and do something and then look at the clock and it's 12 o'clock. And I'm saying that right now because, you know, I'm working from home. I've been working from home now, coming on nearly 12 months, doing a lot of online coaching, a lot of video calls and stuff, and they can be scattered throughout the day. And I'm understanding now more about how that's impacting on my energy and the things that I want. But it's a process that we have to go through. And much like, I suppose, whenever you start your car on a frozen winter's day, you want to make sure that, you know, the windscreen is clear before you set off. You want to make sure as well that the engine has had a chance to heat up a little, to try and connect and fire all those moving parts, ready for the journey, a safe journey. So for me, a morning routine is quite similar. It's about tuning into and connecting to the state of what I believe to be unconditional love as much as I can. And I like to do that by tuning into gratitude. So I've just like flipped there from cars to unconditional love and now to gratitude. Stay with me. It's why people have things like gratitude journals, okay? I know I have one. And I don't have one simply just to have it. I actually write in it. And I write in it most days. I don't write in it every day because some days I just don't feel that I am in the place to write gratitude. And I don't want to force it. I don't want gratitude to be something that I'm forcing. So I want it to flow freely. But I also know that gratitude, and I think I said this in the last episode, can be the key that unlocks the door to the things that you want. All right, so gratitude is important. And like I said, you might not want to do it every day, but you should be probably doing it more days than most. We're going to have feelings and emotions that go up and down. And that is going to be the same with productivity. So don't think that just because you do something one day that you should be doing it 7 days a week, 365, okay? You can become so much more with gratitude, and you can become so much more intentionally, and you can do it much more than you realize by practicing gratitude regularly. Now, we don't need to have some Gucci 3D magic tools or potions in order to receive the things that we want, whether it's the body that you want, shape you want, weight loss, new job, improved relationships, etc., etc. But I think we do need a three-dimensional approach if we're to realize our goals and dreams. Because whenever we look at who we aren't simply a body. We have a body. We live in or through a body. We are spiritual, as in we have a spirit or a soul, a life force that exists alongside our body. And that means that, therefore, we are not solely physical. But we do live in a physical world, and that's important to remember. And, you know, even if 99.999999 something percent of that physical space is actually empty space, okay, what are you talking about, Paul? I'm talking about atoms, all right? Again, I'm back to the energy, back to the atoms, all right? Everything is energy. Atoms are at the center of everything that we know. Even if we don't know it, we're informed reliably, I do believe, by science. And we ourselves are 99.999999 something percent of empty space. So if somebody calls you an empty head, well, they're probably 99.999999 something percent right. But this is not just about attracting things. We can't just start to attract things into your life, all right? So it's not the things that we're looking to attract. Things are actually the results. And where the results come? Well, they come from actions. And where do actions come from? Well, they come from feelings. And where do feelings come from? Well, they come from thoughts. So it's about attracting thoughts. Thoughts that become things. Have you ever heard that statement? How thoughts become things, all right? Or thoughts become things? Well, thoughts that become things have to start somewhere. And things always start as thoughts, because nothing was ever created until it was imagined first. So probably the old way for a lot of us, and it certainly was up for me up until, you know, I really started to look at this, was the usual scenario where someone would say, okay, Paul, let's set a goal. Let's set a weight loss goal. Or for the women, let's set a dress size goal. Or if we're in business, let's set a money goal. Or if we're looking to improve or have love, because we are in the month of February, so Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and it's another reason why I'm doing the law of attraction. But If it's a weight loss goal, we want to set a dress size goal, a money goal, a relationship goal, job goal, whatever it is, all right? Most people don't even bother writing the goal down. Sometimes they don't do that because they're scared to write it down, and sometimes they don't do it because they've never thought about writing it down. Never been told to. Never said to them, look, you know, it might be a good idea if you write this down. Why do we write stuff down? Because it's actually easier to process and understand whenever things are written down. But there's also another level to it. And I'm probably not going to go into it on this podcast, but whenever we're writing things down, we're actually taking that thought and helping to move it into physical form. So it's the idea comes into our head, we're setting a goal, we're writing it down. The actual physical aspect of writing that goal down is the start of the process of making that thought become a thing. But let's say we have this goal, whatever it is. And look, the next thing we do, all right, so if we've worked in the old scenario where, okay, Paul, let's set a goal. I set a goal of a weight loss goal or money goal, whatever it is. The next thing we do is arguably the worst thing that we could do whenever it comes to goal setting and goal achieving. And most of us do it. Even if we did manage to write the goal down, which is an important step, we normally go on to say, okay, well, this is my goal. How do I do it? So that's how it normally begins for goal setting. It's like, here's what I want, but how do I do it? What do I need to do? And what happened there is we've gone straight to the doing phase. Before you even consciously ask the question about how you would do it, you've actually asked it subconsciously, and subconsciously you've already answered it. I'll say that again. Before you've even consciously asked that question about how you do it, you've actually already asked it subconsciously, and subconsciously you've already answered. Studies have shown that you actually make decisions several seconds before you're aware of them. Your subconscious, it only works from habit. Therefore, if this is a goal, something you've never done before, then it can't be habit because you've never done it before. Your subconscious will simply turn around in the background. You'll not know that this is going on, and it'll just say, I don't know how. This isn't a habit. I don't know how. And then you become consciously aware that you don't know. You realize, shit, fuck, I have no idea. And this is when people shit themselves. Not literally, but they're like, oh, fuck, I don't know how to do this. And then we generally retreat because we're afraid. So if you say you don't know how to do it, you agree that, you recognize that, you're using your conscious mind, your analytical mind, to back that up. You will look for reasons. You will look for data. Okay, yeah, that's right, I can't do this, so I don't know how to. I've seen it loads of times, and I used to do it loads of times myself, and there's times I still will, and I'm going to catch myself on. So sometimes it's about catching yourself on with this. I've dismissed it before I've allowed the possibility of it, and I know that you'll do that too. Now, here's the thing. It's okay not to know how. And I see this a lot, especially in the gym. And this is the fun thing that I actually enjoy about putting the mindset stuff to work in training. And I've mentioned it before. Like, I tell a client that they're going to do this or lift that amount of weight or whatever, and they say, oh, I'll never be able to do that. Oh, I can't do that. So maybe they're going doing some other exercise. Maybe they've nipped to the bathroom or something. They come back and I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's jump on. Bang. And in between that, I've sneaked on more weight. They do it. I don't even say anything. Then they turn around and they're like, did you increase that? And I'm like, yeah, but it made no difference. All right. I'm not talking massive jumps here. Okay. But what I'm talking about is their mind beating them before they've actually tried it. Because in their head, they hadn't done it before, and they already answered the question, oh, I don't know how to do that, I haven't done it before, therefore I can't do it. But in that gym-based scenario, all right, which is a simple one, yes, your muscles actually don't know anything about weight, okay? Your muscles don't know weight. They don't understand it. The muscles are only going to understand being placed under tension. They only understand tension. So your muscles don't know. It's your head that thinks it knows. I've never lifted that before, I can't do it. How much of your life have you been living based only on what you know how to do? Because whenever you look back, when you were born and you started to grow up, you didn't know how to do anything. You had to learn. So let's step a little outside the box here now. I want you to think of a bat, all right? Not one from Wuhan or anywhere like that, just a bat. or a dolphin. I like Flipper. I grew up on Flipper as a kid. Not actually on him, but, you know, watching on TV. So think of a bat or a dolphin or a man-made equivalent, maybe. All right. A submarine. But what they all have in common is that they all use sound waves. They all use sonar. But they don't just send those sound waves out within like a 3 feet radius normally. Those signals could go out for miles, especially with the dolphin or the submarine. But maybe not so. But they all have a purpose. And the sonar screen on a submarine might be quite small, but like I said, it could be going for miles. So the distance it's covering, that it's going to be huge. Why is the distance going to be huge that it's looking for a signal from? Why is it sending that signal out for miles? Sending it out for miles to get the best picture of everything that is around it. Looking for the best signal to get the best picture so that they can see and they can map out as much of what is around them as they move forward as possible. Now, sometimes we set goals like the sonar screen on the submarine, except we forget to expand for miles. And, you know, sometimes we limit ourselves to just what's on the screen, as in what's right in front of us, what's obvious. We limit ourselves, thinking too small. It's like, here's the thing I want, but I don't know how to find it. I don't know what the next step is. I don't know how that could be possible. Therefore, I decide that it's not. And what this can really be, if you do it, is now an opportunity to expand your mind, to increase that comfort zone. Because that comfort zone, it's not real. We created it. It doesn't actually exist. It's something that we create and then place ourselves in. And in the example of sonar, what the sonar is doing is it's getting feedback. A lot of the time, the feedback being picked up is probably what to avoid, where not to go. You know, a blind or visually impaired person, if they're walking down the street with a cane or a stick, or probably even using a dog, I assume, they aren't working out where to walk. They're assessing for the dangers, the places that fall or feel, and they course correct from that answer. So when you set a goal, when you go to set a goal, set out with the intention of achieving it, set the intention to hit your target, and know that on your way you will have obstacles, of which you will receive back to you valid information as to whether or not you're on the right path. They're not barriers, all right? They're not always there to stop you. Sometimes they are simply there to guide you, to let you know whether you're going in the right direction or whether you're not. Again, very much like a sat nav in your car, it will tell you which roads to take based on which roads are maybe blocked or which roadworks are the shortest route, all right? So it's assessing for failures, giving that feedback so you can choose the best route. So when you set the intention of the target, also set the intention of paying attention. Paying attention to the feedback that you're going to get along the way. So I think, you know, based on where I'm taking this, I will intend to cover the more fundamental, maybe practical steps to goal setting and goal achieving in another episode. For now though, with your goals, set intentions. Set the intention that you're going to receive the information you need to allow you to move forward towards the goal and for that goal to move towards you. Because what you want is also seeking you. Intention setting is powerful because when you intend, when you tune your attention to the thing that you want, tune your attention to that goal, you can become one with it, align with it. Have you ever heard someone say before that they are aligned? And I'm not talking about your mechanic when he's stinging you for wheel realignment after he throws on a couple of new tires. I mean aligned with the thing that you want. Like, it just clicked, or, you know, I mean, this just lined up magically for me. This, it just matched. It just fell into place. All right, I just tuned into it. I was on form. I was on fire. It just all came together. Okay, if you were tuned into it, believed you were already in receipt of it, without worry, doubt, or the fear of missing out, and acting in complete faith that you already have that thing, what you're doing is you're tuning to the gratitude of receiving it. Now, your subconscious mind, the way it works, is it doesn't know the difference. It doesn't know whether you've actually got it or not. It doesn't know the difference between a real and an imagined experience. It's going to take whatever you give it. So whatever you impress upon it. So if you're writing gratitude for around a thing, or a, you know, shape or weight release or whatever, and you're grateful for actually having it and being it now, your subconscious mind won't know the difference because it doesn't know the difference between a real and an imagined experience. So that means that you can have a little fun and you can have some fun with your goals, believing that you already have them, believing that it's already done. And if you go and you look at some big sports personalities, not going to name them, but they do that all the time, all right? It's kind of like a little exercise in visualization. Visualizing the ball going into the goal, visualizing the ball going into the hoop, visualizing the ball going into the hole in golf, you know, things like that. Visualizing themselves, lifting that belt, visualizing lifting the trophy, knowing what it's like, feeling what it's like. And when you begin to do that, you can work backwards. And you can begin to attract the how to do it by actually looking back from having done it in your head, already believing that you're in receipt of the thing that you want and being grateful for it. I'm going to say it again. Gratitude is the key to open that door. And look, I know people love writing or making these I am statements when it comes to their goals, their identity or their self-image, all right? And I was kind of coached a little bit on this before and I disagreed with it and I went down a different route. And the people that I took down that route got pretty good results. But what I'm saying is that I know people love writing or making the I am statements when it comes to their goals, and I get that. But here's the thing. You can write all the I ams that you want. So I am this, I am that, I am. So you can write all the I am statements that you want, but without feeling, you'll never be. You can write all the I am statements that you want, but without feeling, you'll never be. Because feeling gives your thoughts their reactiveness. It charges them, energizes them. Feelings activate thought, give energy to them. Feeling adds vibration to thoughts, amplifies it, and that attracts more of the same. For me, this is how the law of attraction works. Now, the center of the law of attraction and its effectiveness is, oh man, it's another law, all right? And, you know, this isn't law school, but we got to talk about the laws because laws are important, and it can be very difficult to break the laws and understand them. But at the center of the law of attraction and its effectiveness exists the law of vibration. And without amplifying vibration, thoughts simply remain thoughts because they only become things when they are energized, when they are mixed with positive emotion, mixed with feelings, mixed with desire. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to use another analogy here of a car. It's a simple one. So think of it like starting a car. Yes, a key is used to start the car. But there's more that goes on there than just having the key. Right? Because without the pistons, the cylinders, the fuel, and air getting drawn in, and then the spark plugs firing. Spark plugs or plugs, Paul? Yeah, spark plugs, those ones. The car won't start. So think about the key to the car like thought. Think about the spark from the spark plugs and all the other stuff I just mentioned there as the feeling. Think about those things starting to move, the cylinders, the pistons, the fuel, the air, as the action. What's the result? The car starts. The key, thought, the spark, feeling, the pistons, fuel, air, etc. Action, things move in pieces, and the result is the car starts. And so often I see people try to change their way of thinking, trying to change their attitude, their motivation, you know, maybe their commitment to complete their tasks, achieve their goals, get the results they want. But to try to do all that without a true feeling. They're trying to do it by just wanting. Wanting brings more wanting. Wanting attracts want. Wanting also reflects the lack of the thing that you want. And of course, from the outset of trying to achieve a thing, you're going to draw on past experience there. Like in school or when we were younger, well, most of us, I did, pissed about, fucked around, did things half-hearted. And when we didn't succeed, what do? Well, we told ourselves, you know what, that didn't really matter, didn't count, wasn't really trying there, you know, I wasn't arsed about that test, it wasn't important, or there'll be other medals, there'll be other opportunities, there'll be other trophies, blah, blah, blah. And when we did that, what happened was we actually provided ready-made excuses for ourselves. We created failure mechanisms and habits, get-outs, and then we carried them with us. But here's the thing, now that we're older, and yes, we are older, and I am definitely older, those things that we tried and fucked up back then, well, right now in our lives, whenever you're, you know, working and you've got kids and you've got responsibilities, well, the things that you do, they have more fucking meaning. Those relationships, the weight loss, the physical health, the mental health. What's at stake now is the quality of your life and the life of those around you. And those things now matter. So those things now at stake actually matter. And you'll know they matter because they will cause a feeling when you don't get what you wanted. A negative feeling that you created, a negative energy. So if you're going into a task right now, setting a target or going into a goal half-assed, well, that's one way that you can ensure that the outcome or the result is going to be half-assed. Don't wait for the negative and hurt feelings. Or if you already have them, then know that you have the ability to change the result by changing how you feel. Not simply changing what you do, all right? It's only going to make temporary changes normally. Go all in. No retreat. Burn your ships. No surrender. Commit. Burn the bridges that only allow you to go back in those cases, all right? If you burn those bridges, you can't go back. Thoughts become things. Thoughts become our reality when we feel them. Create the picture of what you want in your head. Think about it, visualize it, write it down, draw it, get pictures of it, whatever it is that you want, all right? Think about it more and more, intensify it, amplify it. Use the feeling. Getting to where we want, okay, I think I said that twice there in one sentence. Getting to where we want is easier when we got a map, isn't it? So if you're wanting to find out where to go, you know, you maybe be going to a restaurant or you're away for the weekend, you'll be going to a hotel. It's a lot easier with a fucking map, isn't it? I've tried before without going 3-4 hours in the wrong direction. If we have a map, if we create a picture about our goals, we can do that. We can get a picture of our goals in some cases, or we can create the picture. We can create it in our head. We can create it physically on a piece of paper. We can use magazine clips. We can do that thing. I'm not talking specifically about vision boards, but you know, it's up there. And if we allow the feeling of that picture into our life, and then ask ourselves the question, if I had that now, what did I do to get there? Where did I have to go? What did I have to do? Who did I have to become to do those things? So it's not just the doing. Who did I have to become? And every one of those answers is different. What did I do to get there? Where did I have to go? What did I have to do? Who did I have to become? Every one of those answers is different. Different to the answer that you have now. Otherwise, you'd already be there. And in thinking of the thing that you want, if you're just thinking about it, you're not at one with it. You're the individual, you're the person doing the thinking, and there is the thing that you're thinking of. There's separation there. But when you act as if, from the feeling of having it, of being it, you are one with it, unified with it, connected, fused with it, the feeling of your wish fulfilled, working from, working back, you can retrace your steps. Connect the dots looking back. Steve Jobs said that, and he knew a thing or two about goals. Live and think from it, from the thing that you want. And if you see a trait in someone that you admire, a trait that you desire and think it, it's something that you want, but at the same time it's something that you lack, well, actually you're mistaken, because you can't see what you don't know. Therefore, your awareness of that trait in someone else, so your awareness of the presence of that thing that you want in someone else, is actually an indication that it exists somewhere inside of you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to see it. And the person that you admire, well, they're merely reflecting it back onto you. Remember, at life's essence, everything is energy. And science decrees that energy cannot be created and it cannot be destroyed. Therefore, if energy is everything in life, all right, because everything is atoms, and energy cannot be created or destroyed, which at the minute we cannot create energy, it's always moving, it's just changing from one form into another. So science decrees, science tells us, and we believe science so far, we're now in 2021, hasn't changed. Science decrees that energy cannot be created and it cannot be destroyed. Therefore, creation is finished. So everything that you want for your life already exists out there. How do you achieve it? Get into harmony with it. Believe you deserve it and the universe will serve it. I love that line. It was from, I think, a movie, Pain and Gain. I can't think, it might have been Mark Wahlberg that said it, but I thought it was funny whenever I heard it, and that's the first time I'd heard it, but I like it. Believe you deserve it and the universe will serve it. I'm sorry I don't have an American accent to do that in, but the universe, uni equals one, verse, well, that equals rhythm. Universe, one rhythm, again, get into harmony with it. Frequency, vibration, alignment. That's me done now. Part two, Law of Attraction. I'm excited for next week's podcast, changing things up a little bit, and you'll see what that is whenever we get to it. Thanks for listening. Listen to this one again, because you can't listen to this enough, not me enough, but just listen to the message. All right, have a good one. Catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the whole podcast. If you're someone who enjoys seeing other people grow, then please share this podcast with your friends and family. If you found help through my voice and message, then I'm sure that they will too. So please share it on social media, share it via text, WhatsApp, and your DMs. Be present, challenge your own beliefs, trust the process, take action, be the community. So please, for every episode I share with you, I'd love you to share that podcast directly with someone else. And if you have questions, I'm there to help too. You can email me questions to paul@volumefitness.co.uk. I might even use your question for a future episode. And lastly, I do have one more request. And you only have to do this once, by the way. I want to reach and help more people, and you can help me with that. So if you can, please leave my podcast a fantastic review on iTunes. That way we can both help others gain strength and belief, all from the inside out. Thanks for listening.